This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. A United Nations committee declares Israel an apartheid state.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Now, just yesterday, a commission of the UN condemned Israel as an apartheid state. How helpful is that?
It's not helpful, but it goes back to the culture of the UN. The UN has been Israel bashing for decades. And what we are trying to do is make sure that they understand there's a new administration in town. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to have the backs of Israel every time they do this.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is an anti-Semitic report. It really is something beyond the pale to say that Israel is an apartheid state. That's nonsense.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Here is the summary of a report that was just issued by the United Nations and that is now being responded to by the United States. And I will say, finally, and I am glad to say this, the administration is responding in a very strong manner. But this is a conclusion of the United Nations ECOSOC, that is the Economic and Society Division of the United Nations. It's their ECOSOC also covers Western Asia, so that would be the Middle East is how they view that. This is a report written by an UN committee. I'll give you the name of the individual, Richard Falk. I'll give you more about him in a moment. But let me give you the concluding term. This is how it concludes. And this is dramatic, folks, because this is very, very serious. After determining that Israel is guilty of apartheid, quote, states have a collective duty, A, not to recognize an apartheid regime as lawful, B, not to aid or assist a state in maintaining an apartheid regime, and C, ready for this? And to cooperate with the United Nations and other states in bringing the apartheid regime to an end. The regime they're talking about is the Jewish, democratically elected state of Israel, recognized, by the way, by the United Nations. This is a UN report, which the Secretary General has said doesn't represent his views, which I'm glad to hear him say that. But this is a report that's been issued. Now, it's getting a lot of flack. In fact, if you go to the website to try to get it right now, you'd have a little trouble finding it. But one of our lawyers, Joseph Williams, went and found it. And we've got the full report. There's been a reaction by Nikki Haley. It has been strong. You heard that in the beginning. This is one of a series of attacks on Israel, and I will go through it with you in a moment, but this is how the report starts. The report concludes that Israel has established an apartheid regime that dominates the Palestinian people as a whole. Folks, this is a fraud. This is an absolute fraud, and the guy that wrote it under the UN auspices is a 9/11 denier, truth denier. He's also blames the United States for the Boston Marathon bombings. And the UN gave this guy money to write this report. But this goes in a string of reports we've seen. I'll get Jordan and fans comment quickly here.
Yeah, that's right. I look at this, and we've been talking about that executive order, and four of the countries that are on the executive order on the travel ban that's been been stopped by two different courts now and will be on appeal to circuit courts. Four of those countries are part of this commission inside ECOSOC, Libya, of course, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. These are four of the six countries that Donald Trump has said and the U.S. government has said and the Obama administration have said we cannot trust in vetting for their people that seek immigration from there.
All right, we're going to give you more analysis on this when we come back from the break, but we want you to get involved in this conversation. Our phone lines are open. What do you think about these anti-Semitic attacks? And what do you think the United States should do about it? Some are talking about defunding the UN. We'll take your calls and comments when you get back.
That's right. I'm sure a lot of comments will come in based on that. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us during the breaks and live during the show on Facebook, broadcasting live video and audio, facebook.com/jsekulow. Get your comments in that way as well.
This report finds that the strategic fragmentation of the Palestinian people is the principal method by which Israel imposes apartheid. It's fragmented because Israel voluntarily pulled out of Gaza so the Palestinian Authority could take control, except guess what happened? Hamas came in. Shocking, right? I'll tell you who's the regime that's the apartheid regime. The United Nations. We're back with your comments in just a moment.
Pray President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
This is goes one step beyond what's called the BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanction. And this is a UN report. By the way, it comes out of what's called ECOSOC. ECOSOC is one of the main committees of the UN. By the way, also, our European Center for Law and Justice has NGO status. That is a recognized non-governmental organization with the ECOSOC division of the UN. So we're going to be filing a legal response to this. Our special counsel, Mark Goldfeder, who's also a professor of law at Emory University, is preparing a response right now that will also go up on aclj.org. But I start with the – Joseph Williams pointed this out to me, and he's right. You go to the end of the report, and you see what the goal is here. We talk about this boycott, divest, and sanction. This goes way beyond that. That's to delegitimize Israel. This report is to eliminate Israel as a Jewish state. Let me be very clear about this. It's to eliminate Israel as a Jewish state. Now, we have offices in Jerusalem. I am doing a lot of work in Jerusalem. We all do. I am holding in my hand a pen that I received from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from Israel when I spoke at an event that they sponsored as a lecturer on how to defend Israel globally. I was one of the primary professors on that. So I'm using that pen today as to make a point. But I want to go through the three things they asked for. Logan, get some comments ready. Jordan, I want you to respond, and Than as well, on how we're going to handle this at the UN. But let's go through each one. This is what the report concludes. States have a collective duty not to recognize an apartheid regime as lawful. So that's number one. Don't recognize an apartheid regime. Now, I think a lot of us would say, yes, under international law, that's absolutely and fundamentally correct. Don't recognize an apartheid regime. So, but understand, that's the predicate to what they're about to do. But let's discuss that one first.
Okay.
That's normal under international law.
Yeah.
Don't recognize an apartheid regime.
Except for there's really only been one identified, and that was South Africa.
Right.
The world came together with sanctioning South Africa, and they're the way they treated the native people of the area. You know, they were, again, a mixture of Dutch and English, British immigrants. Who had taken over and created this white-controlled country, which was predominantly black. And it was a horrible system, and it existed until the late 80s, early 90s, Nelson Mandela.
Right.
That's where the term – it was actually a term created by the leaders in South Africa, the white leaders, the apartheid term of how we will govern. They created that. It wasn't a negative term at first. That's the only real example in history – of the apartheid
government. But comparing Israel to... So that's why I wanted to get the legal definition here. So comparing Israel to South Africa is a dramatic statement, to say the least, and very much in the mode of destabilizing Israel's right to exist.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa was cut off from the world. It was literally cut off from the world for decades, actually, until they could no longer survive being cut off from the world.
Number two, fan, is the other thing they say under the law is not to aid or assist a state in maintaining an apartheid regime. So what they're calling off there is, again, not only isolating Israel, but no funding, no business. That's the BDS section of this, the boycott, divest, and sanction. Your comments on that? You're our UN representative. You've been up there a lot. What's your sense of this?
Well, the truth is, Jay, they're echoing a policy position that many in the United Nations, including the Organization for the Islamic Cooperation, and by the way, the Palestinian government, including Hamas, have put forward for a long time. The difference here, Jay, is that over the last 8 years, the main defender of Israel on those attacks, which has always been the United States, that went away, especially last year, as our listeners are very well aware of. So at the United Nations, the key here is the posture of the United States, and that has gone away over the last 8 years. Fortunately, it's coming back.
Yeah, but it allowed this report to, you can blame, thank President Obama for this nonsense, by the way. Let me give you the next one. And this is what they conclude, what you do when you have these two predicates of an apartheid state. You stop cooperating. The United Nations should stop cooperating, other states, and they should cooperate together, though. So you don't cooperate with the apartheid state. No aid to Israel, under their view. No assistance, no recognition. But then to cooperate with the United Nations and other states in bringing apartheid regimes to an end. Understand what this is saying. Bring the Jewish state of Israel to an end. Now, this is by a nutcase, okay, that the United Nations has allowed to go forward. His name is Richard Falk. Taxpayer dollars are being used to fund these commissions. He, by the way, is also a professor emeritus of international law at Princeton University. Princeton should be embarrassed. This guy, we've done research. That's what we do here at the ACS. And I want to do a documentary on this whole thing, by the way. I am, as you can tell, not too happy about this. I am glad that the United States is responding, but I am outraged. In 2009-11, the Boston bombing, he called it, that was because of a Palestinian Holocaust. That's what he calls all these things. Well, it's happening to you in the United States because of a Palestinian Holocaust. In 2011, Falk, that's Richard Falk, this is the guy that wrote this report for the UN, wrote in a blog post that there was an apparent cover-up over the 9/11 terror attacks and said mainstream media were unwilling to acknowledge the well-evidenced doubts about the official version of the events. Then U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, in response called on the UN to remove Falk from his position, which would have been nice. Of course, they didn't do it. Rice again called for his removal. This is even under Obama. They're trying to get rid of this guy. Then UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon was critical but said he could not dismiss Falk since special rapporteurs are appointed by the Human Rights Council and not the Secretariat. And, of course, Jordan, the Human Rights Council, is controlled by the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation.
Which is why President Trump and part of their idea is to stop funding the UN Human Rights Council and just give up our seat there. The U.S. has a seat there. Just give up on it. Cut the funding. There's been a lot of discussion in the last few days about cutting hundreds of millions of dollars of funding to the United Nations to make the UN feel the pain. Now, I have to be clear here. The Secretary General of the UN, who's a new Secretary General, it's not Ban Ki-moon anymore, it's Guterres. He was a leader from Portugal. He has said he disagrees with this statement. Now, the UN has not made an official statement saying it disagrees, but the Secretary General saying that is clear. The fact that the full report has been removed from the UN website, but this is not over until that executive summary, which includes the language calling Israel an apartheid state, that must be removed, is what Nikki Haley is calling for, our U.S. ambassador to the UN. That also has to come down from any official UN website and publication.
There's another key aspect of this report that our executive producer points out, Will Haynes. Aware of the seriousness of this allegation, the authors of the report conclude that available evidence establishes beyond a reasonable doubt, and that's a legal standard, that Israel is guilty of policies and practices that constitute the crime of apartheid as legally defined in instruments of international law. Okay? That's what they're saying. Under the Rome Statute, which is the statute that governs the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Listen to Richard Falk's own comments.
I think it is quite appropriate to invoke the legacy of the anti-apartheid campaign at this moment of history in understanding the place which the Palestinian solidarity movement now occupies in the consciousness of the world.
These guys are lunatics. I mean, you understand that? These guys are insane. And I say that with no respect to him at all, because this is an individual that's calling for the destruction of the only democracy in the region. And I got to tell you something about some of the countries that sign on to this that I'm not too happy about either. Egypt, you get a lot of money from us, okay? Jordan, you're hanging on by a thread because of the United States of America and Israel. So who are you kidding? All right, you want me to go on? Qatar?
Iraq.
Really? Iraq? You're signing on to this nonsense? And you're getting our money? Make America great again? I'll tell you how to start. You do this stuff, and we're going to talk about this with Wes Smith. Guess what you don't get? U.S. dollars. Period. You want to end this problem real quick? Stop giving these regimes money. Maybe we don't prop them up so quickly if they continue to do this nonsense.
Yeah, maybe they don't get nice schools and hospitals in the Palestinian territories, or the Saudis don't get so much cooperation from us to defend them from a nuclear Iran. You go through this, United Arab Emirates, maybe they don't get the same kind of economic treatment they do, and the looking the other way of some of their leadership and kings and the princes funding terror, which we look
Is, that's why I'm saying it. Enough with this. I mean, let's start calling it like we do this on this broadcast. We call the evidence. What kind of comments were you getting?
Yeah, Charlotte asked, Jay, what's even the benefit now for us to be in the UN?
Well, it's still a world body that you got to deal with. So, what we need to do the problem is, as George just said, the Security Council is the biggest thing because the Security Council can actually take actions under international law, including engaging militaries. So you can't just.
And we have
that's a good question, though.
We're a permanent member of that, so we have a veto power over anything.
Which is very important.
Which means we can veto any kind of conflict. We can also support conflict. We can veto the anti-Israel legislation, which resolutions which the Obama administration failed to do in their final days. But we can do that now. It's why you don't want to give up. You never want to give up seat.
But you got
the
fight.
Security Council.
And
we are
representatives.
Else.
We are. Than quickly here. We have the ability to engage this directly. We need. Let's let everybody know that we're not just talking about it here. We're going to engage this.
Well, as an organization, our affiliate will engage this. The question will be, when it comes to the UN, whether or not you're going to actually use the leverage points that are available to you. I would say if you're going to use them as the United States, you absolutely should be there. The problem is, Jay, we haven't been using them. That's what's got to change.
Yeah, I mean, because when Susan Rice says, we called for his resignation and we called for this other guy to step down, but they didn't put anything behind it. Like, guess what you're not going to get from the United States? Money, which is, by the way, 27% of your budget. So you don't get the money, guess what? You don't exist. All right, we'll take calls and comments, Logan, when we come back from the break.
That's right. Get your comments in now or 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, but they'll open up. Again, ACLJ.org or Facebook.com/JaySekulow.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
So we've got a report out of the United Nations calling for Israel's not only delegitimizing, but the end of Israel as a Jewish state. This is from ECOSOC. It's also their Committee on Western Asia, which includes the Middle East. It's by Richard Falk, who, by the way, was a paid U.S. UN rapporteur, which is special status that he had. We have status, too, by the way, and we're using that status because we're going to combat this nonsense. But here's what he said about the Boston Marathon bombings. He linked the Boston Marathon bombings to U.S. policies, citing its support for Israel in particular, that the United States supported Israel. And that was under President Obama. So if you want to call that support, I would say tepid at best. But here's what he said. The American global domination project is bound to generate all kinds of resistance in the post-colonial world. That's what he's saying about the United States. By the way, we are the post-colonial. Okay? We are not the colonies anymore. We get that. But this guy, a professor at Princeton, writes this anti-Semitic garbage, incorrect historically, and I'm going to point to one legal argument here that is such a fallacy, and that they put this in UN reports. By the way, a UN report now that's really hard to find. We found it, but really hard to find. He says this: the report finds that the strategic fragmentation of the Palestinian people is the principal method by which Israel imposes an apartheid regime. Let's break that down. A strategic fragmentation of the Palestinian people. He's talking about Gaza. Do we have that map? Let's get the map up of Israel. We can find it. You got Gaza, and I'll refer to it later. Gaza in what it's on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and then what's called the West Bank, which is near Jordan. It is controlled in one sense by the Palestinian Authority, the West Bank, although Hamas is gaining control. But when the Israelis pulled out at the request of the Palestinian Authority out of Gaza, guess who took over? Hamas. So don't give me this fragmentation of people. That's why there's no two-state solution capability. You understand that? If these countries sign on to this, including, by the way, the Palestinian Authority, they're listed here. Do you want to sit down, if you're Benjamin Netanyahu or Donald Trump, you want to sit down with Abu Mazen? You want to sit down with Mahmoud Abbas? Abu Mazen's his war name when he was a Palestinian terrorist. You want to sit down with him and say, let's see if we can get a two-state solution, which, by the way, Bibi's willing to do. He's got a lot more willing than I do at this point, because this is the nonsense that's going on at the UN, which we're going to talk about later in the broadcast. We need to defund.
You know, even that, we have one of our special representatives on the peace process from the Trump administration was meeting with Mahmoud Abbas from the Palestinian Authority just this week. A day before that meeting, this broke, I believe it was in Free Beacon. A day before that meeting, Mahmoud Abbas was meeting, celebrating the opening of a new community center named after the terrorists that carried out that coastal bombing in Israel that led to, I believe, the death of over 38 people, Israelis who were killed, including children. And the center, and these are supposed to be the moderates in the Palestinian side of things, the Palestinian Authority, the center bears the name of that terrorist. And then that's the really only person we can even deal with directly within the Palestinian
government. And they're naming things after terrorists.
Yes, it's still to this day.
So let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan. We'll get some comments, too. Let's grab a call.
Yeah, let's go to Dennis in Alabama.
Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm going to make this as quick as possible. Over the last 8 years, we haven't defended Israel as we should have. That's Obama's fault. We need to stop being defensive, be offensive in this. Anybody who supports this mess, cut their funding. Done. Over. And give that money to support the Israelis. And on top of that, the UN is failing. I fully agree with what you said about the Security Council. I have thought in the past we should just dump it, but we can't.
You can't dump it because of what Jordan said. And that is, it's a veto right that's important. But I want to say something really clearly here. You know, I've represented the state of Israel. You know that. I've represented Palestinian Christians. I don't know if you know that. So I have done both sides of this. And trust me, Palestinian Christians don't want to live under Hamas control. Okay, they do not. That's just fact. All right, we're going to take more calls here. 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Ghazi, who's calling in California online, too.
From California. Ghazi, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me. Okay, I'm a Palestinian who moved to the state 12 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And I was a peace activist, and I paid the price to lose two of my brothers, lose my mother. She was inside Israeli jail. You know, and I came here to seek an asylum and better life and better future. And I live under occupation for most of my life, 42 years.
Where did you live in Israel?
I live in Hebron area.
Okay, and you consider that occupied territory?
Yes, it's unoccupied territory. What do you consider it?
I consider you part of Israel is what I consider. But and while you were there, were you you said you were discriminated against?
Yes, I was discriminated by both sides, you know.
But when you say by both sides, I'm just asking because I've represented Palestinians before. You were discriminated by, you're saying, Israelis, but also Palestinians?
Yes. I got a life threat because for what I'm doing. I do recognize the state of Israel. And okay. I do recognize the right of the Jewish people to have their own state, their okay. own country, and to live in peace and dignity
yep.
and no war, you know, among the Arab right. countries, you know. But I think it's the time to stop calling the Palestinian as a terrorist. It's the
time.
Well,
I'm not calling all Palestinians terrorists, and I would never do that. I don't call all Muslims terrorists. I don't call all Arabs terrorists. I think that's not fair. I agree with you on that. But you've experienced what it's like as a peace activist with some within the Palestinian Authority. I want to ask you a question because we've got John. I think it's great that you called. What do you think of the Prime Minister, Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen? What do you think of him?
You know, I don't want to be nasty to say nasty word on the radio, but he's not the right person. They are negotiating with the wrong guy.
Who should they be negotiating with?
The Israeli. They're negotiating with the wrong guy.
Who should he? Okay, Ghazi, who should the Israelis negotiate with in your view?
You have like Marwan Barghouti, you know, Dr. Barghouti.
But Dr. Barghouti doesn't have any legal standing within the Palestinian Authority. And that is, to me, Ghazi, what the problem is. Yeah. You're negotiating with someone who, and I appreciate you calling in, by the way, but you're negotiating with someone, and you're saying negotiate with this guy, but he doesn't have the governmental control. That's the problem with all of
this. Yeah, I mean, if Ghazi's view was the majority view of most Palestinians, it wasn't because he was mistreated by Palestinians.
Right.
But if it was the majority view that, yeah, they may not love Israel, they may not love some of the ways that they move in what they consider their territories, but they get that Israel has a right to exist, they could live peacefully,
yeah.
Then everything would work out. You would have a two-state solution. You could probably even pull one off with Gaza being treated separately for right now.
It's going to be tough.
But the problem is, he is in the small minority. He's the Zudi Jasser of Palestinians. Zudi Jasser,
yep.
who speaks for moderate Muslims in America. The Ghazi who speaks for the most yep. moderate, peaceful in Palestinians. And he had to flee. You know, he had
to come to the
country.
United States because yeah. he was being persecuted by his own people and came in for asylum. Comments?
Yeah, we do have a couple lines open if you want to get in touch with us. Coming up in the next segment, if you don't get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you can join us on Facebook. We're broadcasting live right now at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Just go to the Jay Sekulow page, as well as on ACLJ.org. But a lot of comments are coming in. Here's one from Mary. He says, does the president need the approval of Congress if they decide they should defund the UN, or can we do it alone?
Okay.
But do we even think that should be an option?
Well, I think that there is a move right now. Than, why don't you give us this, because we're going to talk about this in the next half hour of the broadcast. That's why, like Logan said, you need to get the next half hour. Than, quickly on the defunding. We'll get to that coming up.
There's an aspect of this that resides in Congress, Jay. There's an aspect of it that President Trump can do alone. And by the way, in those comments you played from Ambassador Haley, the president is planning to use those leverage points.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But as Logan said, if you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, it's a shame you're not. Yeah. There's a lot of ways you can get it. Logan will give you that list. We encourage you to do that right now. And get your station to carry the full hour.
Yeah, and again, you can call us 1-800-684-3110. Tell your station you want the whole hour, and if they don't carry it, but SiriusXM, many of the others do.
Yeah, a lot more.
So, I mean, you can check. But if you want to also interact, be part of the experience in a little different way and see more of a television-style version of the show, Facebook.com, like I said, go to the Jay Sekulow page or ACLJ.org.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
the situation on the front with Israel, if you're just joining us, we've got a UN report that Nikki Haley has really come out against. Let me read the concluding portions. Quote, states have a collective duty, A, not to recognize an apartheid regime as lawful. They're talking about the state of Israel here. Two, not to aid or assist the state in maintaining an apartheid regime. By the way, those are correct statements regarding an apartheid regime under international law. But here is what you need to understand. And to cooperate with the United Nations and other states in bringing apartheid regimes to an end. The conclusion, though, is that apartheid regime, the state of Israel. Nikki Haley responded very aggressively to this. I am glad she is. She is our UN ambassador, the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Here's what she said.
Now, just yesterday, a commission of the UN condemned Israel as an apartheid state. How helpful is that?
It's not helpful, but it goes back to the culture of the UN. The UN has been Israel bashing for decades. And what we are trying to do is make sure that they understand there's a new administration in town. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to have the backs of Israel every time they do this.
So what you need to understand is this is a direct, this is, goes beyond what's called boycott, divest, and sanction, which is to delegitimize Israel. This is the next step. I was talking to our policy director, Harry Hutchinson, about this. This is the next step, which is the removal, the ending of the state of Israel through this UN nonsense. Now, Than, explain to everybody here, I think it's really important, that we have a way to fight back.
We've got several ways. And first of all, I mean, Ambassador Haley indicated there's a new tone at the United Nations. But I think more importantly, Jay, she indicated that the way to fight back, she is prepared to do. I mean, there's the funding question you can break down, something in the tune of $8 to $10 billion from the United States every single year. And we can get into some of those categories. But the other thing she controls, Jay, is that veto at the Security Council. If President Trump decides to grind the Security Council to a halt, he can do it with the United States vote alone. So I think what we've seen is not just a change in tone, but a change in posture of the United States, too, where they're willing to fight back with the leverage points they have.
But we did have 8 years of this under President Obama, and this has made this kind of action easier to do, Jordan. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah, I think that ultimately this was in the works, likely in the final days of the Obama administration, a report like this, and they felt like, and these countries felt like they could endorse statements like this without much retribution. Of course, then, in a surprise to many, Donald Trump becomes president of the United States instead of Hillary Clinton. And these countries, I would be pretty concerned if I had endorsed this. Like, if I am right now Iraq or Egypt, who have tried to keep good, or Jordan, especially Kuwait, I look at Morocco and Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia.
These are allies of the United States.
Yeah.
And allies of Israel, some of them.
And the UAE. I mean, some of these, yes, are enemies of the United States, but most are countries that need the U.S. to protect them from terrorism and also for economic reasons.
But Jordan said something really important I want to underscore here. Logan, let's try to grab a comment, but I want to play this for everybody. John Kerry, this is Obama administration, 8 years of this, results in the U.N. thinking they can do this. They believe they can do it. But here's what John Kerry, the Secretary of State, said in 2014. Take a listen.
The unitary state winds up either being an apartheid state with second-class citizens, or it winds up being a state that destroys the capacity of Israel to be a new state.
So I want to read it for you because I want you to hear the actual audio. I like playing the evidence, but here's what he said. A unitary state winds up either being an apartheid state with second-class citizens. By the way, you can say that about the United States because we have Puerto Rico? I mean, okay, no. Or it winds up being a state that destroys the capacity of Israel to be a Jewish state. Let me tell you what's not going to be destroyed. Israel's capacity to be a Jewish state. It was an everlasting covenant. And that covenant hasn't changed. There will be a Jewish state of Israel, Secretary Kerry notwithstanding, and this UN body notwithstanding. What are you hearing on social media? We'll take calls when we come back from the break.
Yeah, a lot of comments coming in. Must stand with Israel. That's sort of the common theme that's going through this. Lona said, is the UN testing America? Do you think it's testing the president?
Fan, quickly on that. Do you think this is a test?
I think this is left over from the standing down of the United States from the last time around. But I'll tell you this. If the United States stands up, this report's going away.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to find it now on their site. We did. It's out there, though. It's being discussed. We're going to have a lot more to discuss when we come back from the break. We'll take some calls. We're going to be joined by our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, who's been following this issue very closely.
A video coming up after this? Yep. We got a special exclusive video coming up. You're watching online. So, Jordan with us. Don't go anywhere. Special video coming up just for those watching on ACLJ Facebook and Periscope. Be right back.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are going to get to your calls and comments, but joining us in the studio right now is our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, who's also been following this whole situation. He served in the region, by the way, in the United States Army. He has been following this issue very closely with regard to Israel, and there is legislation pending right now. So I'm going to go to Wes. It's called the Condition of Assistance to the West Bank and Gaza on Steps by the Palestinian Authority to End Violence. In other words, this is going to condition assistance, financial assistance, that would go to the West Bank and Gaza. That's controlled by Hamas and the Palestinian Authority.
Right.
If they end their violence and terrorism against Israel. By the way, this is being sponsored by Senator Graham, Senator Blunt, Senator Cotton, Senator Scott, Senator Cruz, Burr, Thune, Rubio, and Boozman.
Right. We give the Palestinian Authority about $348 million a year. And against this backdrop, the same Palestinian Authority, every time a suicide attacker kills someone in Israel, they pay that family a pension.
And that's the moderates we're talking
about. That's the moderates.
Right.
Well, just this week, Jordan mentioned the celebration in the Palestinian territories of the Coastal Road Massacre. This is where 38 people were killed by a female Palestinian terrorist, including 13 children who were burned to death in a bus. Mm. And the president of the Palestinian Authority this week led the celebrations of that attack. And the governor of Ramallah opened a youth training camp and called this young woman who committed these atrocities, these murders, called her a model for Palestinian youth. And we give them almost $350 million a year.
All right, I want to go to Than first. Logan, get some comments. I want to go to Jordan on a policy question. I want to go to Than first. Okay, so we got legislation pending now that's been introduced. What's the status? What's going to happen here?
The thing that is so good about this legislation, Jay, is that it's sponsored by Senator Graham. He is the chairman of the subcommittee that controls this funding. So a lot of times we see pieces of legislation and you don't know how likely they are to end up in law. Jay, I am telling you, this legislation, if we do not get the proper response from overseas, it has a very good likelihood of ending up in law because the main sponsor actually writes the bill that controls these funding. By the way, Jay, that's the same subcommittee you've testified in front of,
yep,
and you saw your recommendations end up in federal law as a part of that. So
yep,
the most exciting thing is this is headed towards law.
And if they call for hearings, I want to be there. Senate Bill 474 is the bill. It's been introduced by Senator Graham. It says funds appropriate or otherwise made available for assistance to the Palestinian Authority, West Bank, and Gaza may only be made available for such purposes if the Secretary of State certifies that appropriate to an appropriate congressional committee that the Palestinian Authority, Jordan, has taken credible steps to end acts of violence against Israeli citizens that are perpetrated by individuals under its jurisdiction and control. But you and West just said this. They not only don't take steps to stop it, they reward the people that do it.
They reward the people that do it with financial sums, and those comes out of them. That comes out of banks from Saudi Arabia. That's who Keith Ellison was meeting with. Remember the congressman who's now the deputy chair of the Democrat National Committee. They have a special fund at that Islamic bank to pay these, what they call martyrs, their Palestinian families. But here is what's important. As Wes said, they're still naming community centers and celebrating these terrorists. But here they'll have to choose between $300 million and continuing their acts of terror. That is a big, that would put a real pressure on those Palestinians, because can they survive? Can their government continue to be propped up? You know what would happen to Mahmoud Abbas, I think, if they don't get the $300 million?
Gone.
He gets tossed off the top of a building by Hamas.
Yes, and by the way.
Literally tossed off the top of the building, which is what happened to his fellow party members when Hamas took over the Gaza Strip.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Mahmoud Abbas is only in power in the Palestinian Authority because the Israelis are propping him up. I mean that sincerely, even with all this nonsense. If the Israelis pulled out their support and their security, guess what happens to Mahmoud Abbas? We've been there. Logan's been there. We've been there. Absolutely. You pull this out, they're gone.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Let's. Do you want to take a call?
Yeah, take a call.
Let's go to Raj in Virginia.
Hi, Raj.
Engaging on every front is so very important. You're doing an excellent job, and I'm so pleased that you're taking it even to the UN Security Council and causing them to step in. But what I want to share very particularly is that they're treating as morally equivalent apartheid and the ongoing slaughter and persecution in all these countries.
Well, this is the double standard. I mean, you know, they apply, Wes, a standard to Israel that they apply to no, and Raj is absolutely correct. They apply it to no other country. I mean, first of all, these countries on the list that Jordan gave, give me a break.
I know.
I mean, these are countries that shouldn't be saying anything about anybody.
It is a sad irony that the day that this report was released, condemning Israel, referring them to as an apartheid state, it's released on the sixth anniversary of the beginning of the Syrian civil war. In that civil war, Jay, Assad, the president of Syria, is responsible for over 500,000 civilian deaths. The UN has monitored some of that in a rather tepid fashion, but every resolution that has been brought before the UN Security Council to condemn Assad for killing a half million civilians has failed.
Yeah. So what you've got here is, do they focus on that, what Wes just went through with Syria? No. Jordan, they don't focus on that. Do they focus on Saudi Arabia's treatment of women? No, they don't focus on that. What do they focus on? The Jewish state. So call it whatever you want. I call it anti-Semitism, but this is beyond boycott, divest, and sanction. This is destroy. And we need to look at this as if we're in a war, because we are. Now, fortunately, the administration's backing us, but you had 8 years of them complacent. I mean, really complacent, which just fed this view of the world. I mean, look. Frankly, I mentioned that Susan Rice called for Richard Falk to be removed. Her calling for Richard Falk to be removed, believe me, okay? Not a lot of prestige behind that one. Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, no, I think that this is part of that work the Trump administration must do to correct the wrongs of the Obama administration, and there is a lot of work to do, a lot of work to correct. I mean, just to bring up a couple of other issues. Today, you've got the refugee crisis in Europe. You saw what Turkey is threatening to do. Turkey is threatening to send Germany 15,000 additional Syrian refugees a month because of some conflict they're having. The chancellor, Angela Merkel, is in Washington, D.C., meeting with President Trump as we speak. But let's move on to North Korea, a nuclear power, which, again, the Obama administration has failed to contain. And now you have Secretary Rex Tillerson, a guy who knows, I think, the world, being the former CEO of ExxonMobil, who has said it may take military action. And that would be very serious, considering that Seoul would be in the range of a nuclear North Korea.
Yeah,
Not just nuclear, but the artillery rounds that are within range of Seoul as well. Yeah, today, Secretary Tillerson said the era of strategic patience with North Korea is over.
Yeah, I think this idea of you're going to get a diplomatic solution, it's a dangerous world, folks, and we're trying to get you the information that you need so you understand it. Logan, you got an interesting comment you said, then we'll grab a...
Yeah, a comment came from Cheryl, said, why do we give the PA so much money?
The idea was to work towards a two-state solution, that you would have a Jewish state alongside a Palestinian state. They would live in peace and prosperity. And by the way, there was a time, a brief period, a window, and Jordan and Logan were there with me. I mean, when we went to Israel, you would go into the Palestinian Authority areas, Palestinian church, without any authority. Business was great for everybody. Employment was good. You went there. I mean, management of people, it was easy.
Yeah, I mean, you kept your guard up a little bit, but other than that, you didn't feel unsafe.
Yeah, but it's changed drastically now. Go ahead.
Since the Oslo Accords, when we started paying them money in 1993, we're paying these people, mind you. They have killed 64 Americans.
Yeah, that's something that gets underreported. So I want you to say that again, folks. You're not hearing this anywhere else. Yes. So since in the Oslo Accords, this is when you were going to get to this two-state solution under President Clinton. So we started giving them these large chunks of money. Billions now. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally billions of dollars. But you understand, there was a Vanderbilt student killed last year.
Yes.
Millions, 68 students have been killed.
64 people have been killed and two unborn children. And this bill that Than mentioned going up before the Senate is named after Taylor Force, who was the Vanderbilt student who was killed.
So, Than, explain to everybody quickly what's going to happen with that bill.
Well, the other difference is that the unity government now includes Hamas, which is a designated terrorist organization.
Right.
That bill, Jay, it is in Senator Graham's subcommittee. If he would report it out, it would become a part of the larger funding bill. And come next fall when the new funding cycle starts, Jay, it would block this funding. The president wouldn't even have to do anything. Congress would block the funding.
I think this is a have to if things don't improve. I mean, Jordan, you've studied this in international law, and you've had professors that have been on the other side of this. But I think we're reaching that point. This thing needs to, the UN Secretary General just doesn't need to say, I disagree with it. They need to condemn this and say, we're not going to publish this. This is not the position of the United Nations or this committee. They need to revoke it. That's what we need to be calling for.
Yeah, that's right. That this executive summary, which in the executive summary, I mean, just to pull up for people and so they understand, in the executive summary, it begins with, it's called Report Palestine and Israeli Occupation Issue Number 1. This is just issue number 1. And then it says this issue number 1 is Israeli practices toward the Palestinian people and the question of apartheid. And in the first sentence, it says that this volume concludes that Israel has established an apartheid regime against the Palestinians.
And then they call for when you deal
that
with
that executive summary is still online.
That is still online.
That text is still in the UN.
And legally, what this means is their conclusion is if it's because it's an apartheid regime, guess what that means? That means you could call for that ending of that state. So they're calling for the ending of the Jewish state of Israel.
All right, we do have quite a few lines open as we head into the next segment of the broadcast. We'll take as many as we absolutely can. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Again, about 3 lines are open.
Unusual.
And probably by the time you're hearing this, they're probably gone. But go ahead and try. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, I want to get your opinions on this, folks. We're taking decisive action. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, get your comments in. You're listening to us on radio. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a minute.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9000.
888-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about this move to call Israel again. You know, they first it was Zionism is racism. Now Israel's an apartheid state, and you got a UN committee calling for Israel to be not existing as a Jewish state. And this was all what President Obama and John Kerry wanted. So, you know, you want to blame some blame? Blame it right there. But we've got to respond, and we're doing that through our European Center for Law and Justice, so we're going to respond. All right, we got calls. We're going to take them. Get your comments in as well at 1-800-684-3110 or on Facebook and Periscope. Put them up there.
Let's go to Sarah Linda calling in Washington on line 6. You're on the air.
Hey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing.
Thanks.
I just have this one comment. Aren't these jihadist nations?
Yep.
Aren't these apartheid nations?
Well, I mean, if you look at, Jordan, you've studied this, the legal definition of apartheid, most of these countries, that's a very high standard, by the way. It's a very difficult legal standard for a country to actually make.
Well, there's like one, it stems from an Afrikaans word. Afrikaans was the white language in apartheid South Africa for separate. It was very similar to policies that the U.S. had, these separate but equal, separate treatment, separate things for different kinds of people. It was an Afrikaans word. That's why it's not a word that you would commonly use, and it put together.
But now it's got legal definition.
It does, yet it's never been applied to anyone else other than South Africa, who labeled themselves that. They labeled their policies apartheid policies.
Yep.
So even it's using a loaded term that's only applied once in history. And again, this is someone who is Richard Falk, who has said that Israel's on the path to creating a Palestinian Holocaust.
Yes.
So again, he uses lots of loaded language
and justifies the terrorist actions that some Palestinian terrorists take against Israeli civilians. Why? Because they deserve it. And that's according to Richard Falk, who gets money from the United Nations. I think about that for a moment. I mean, that doesn't make to me. I'm sorry. So. Let's take another call, but then I want to ask Wes something.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Mark in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark, go ahead. All right, we'll go back to somebody else.
Yep, let's keep Mark. Let's put Mark back on hold just so he's been hold a while. Let's go to John in Washington.
Hey, John.
Line 2.
How are you?
Good.
God bless you and
thanks.
All you do.
Appreciate it, John.
I think this latest action by the UN is a result of 8 years of anti-Semitic activities and narrative by our president, the ex-president.
Well, look, his administration was the one that did not veto the last UN resolution, which, you know, dealt with the, quote, occupied territory. So, Than, I mean, this does fall in part to President Obama here.
Oh, absolutely. We said last fall that more of these actions were going to come down the line if the United States stood down. That's exactly what's happening. It's going to take some time to turn it around. And look, Jay, the Secretary General can say this doesn't speak for the rest of the UN. Well, unless he demands that this report be withdrawn, it does speak for the rest of the UN because it's a UN body and their report is standing.
So, and let me explain to everybody here. We are our European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, is a recognized NGO, non-governmental organization with recognized status at the UN, which means we can intervene on that. And we are working those briefs up right now. But I think what Than said, Jordan, is absolutely correct. This needs to be not just, this is not our position, it needs to be repudiated by the Secretary General.
Oh, absolutely. So not just our position, repudiated and completely removed, scrapped, deleted from all UN-associated websites and publications. And this just says volume one or issue number one.
Yeah.
There should be no issue number two. The UN Secretary General should direct that through ECOSOC that this has violated UN protocol, you know, name calling like this.
Wrong under international law.
Wrong under international law, and thus there will be no issue number two, and issue number one will be scrapped and deleted from all UN, not just websites, but all UN works, all UN
that is what we need
publications.
You can't just say, oh, we disagree with it. You've got to take definitive action here.
That's right. Let's continue on, try to get some more of these calls in. A lot of people have been holding. Let's go to Charles in Tennessee.
Hey, Charles, go ahead. You're on the air.
Line 4.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
All right. Well, my question was, why not just declare Palestine, a terrorist state? Okay, well, don't bother taking the time to segregate.
Because if we say Hamas is a terrorist organization, Wes. Right. I mean, the ruling coalition government, which is a joke, by the way, because there is no coalition government, includes Hamas, which is a terrorist state. Mm-hmm. But it's not a matter of what the United States will do, although I think we should do the funding. The problem is the rest of the world looks at the Palestinian as the downtrodden, and it's because of this not only misunderstanding of international law, but I would just call it blatant anti-Semitism.
It is. And every time Israel steps up to the plate, and they've done it numerous times, and they give land to the Palestinians, they give special consideration to the Palestinians, the response from the Palestinians is rocket attacks, suicide bombers. I mean, Israel had to build a wall along part of the border simply to keep their people safe. Every time Israel has reached out to try and bring about a two-state solution and peace, they get kicked in the teeth, Jay.
Every time.
And you're asking, you know, a rational body, the civilized world and the nation of Israel, to negotiate with people that are completely irrational.
Yeah, so there's nothing that you can't negotiate with people that are calling for your destruction. All right, let's take another call.
All right, Anthony's calling in Georgia on line 5.
Anthony, go ahead.
Hello, yes, sir. I'd just like to know, why are we funding the United Nations? Why don't Donald Trump come out with an executive order to stop funding?
Well, you can't just do it. You can't just do it by executive order. And Jordan will say this again, but he needs to. That the Security Council veto is very important because that can involve.
Yeah, we're not
troops.
Giving that up. We're
you
not
can't
giving
give
up.
That up.
And here's why: we're one of 5 countries in the entire world that will always be a permanent member of the UN Security Council. That means we alone have a veto power. We can stop anything
right.
we want. So not only did we make. We can propose military actions. We can prevent military actions. We can defend our allies with that veto. The other countries on it include the UK, France, but also Russia and China.
Yeah.
We should not give up an international veto when Russia and China have that same power.
It's very important. I'm glad Jordan said that again. Very important. That's why you can't just abandon
the
United
Assembly,
Nations.
I think you could abandon.
Yeah, but the Security Council, you can't. Go ahead.
All right, Chris in Florida on line 3.
Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful topic. Lived in Israel. I echo
Great.
The words and your sentiments entirely.
Thanks.
It is the truth. I've been there. I've seen how
yep.
Israel fought. God gave the Sinai to them. They had to give it back.
Well, they're having to fight for every inch of it right now because these apartheid regimes, so-called, they call the Israelis the apartheid regime, are actually fighting for the survival of the Jewish people in the region. And they will win, by the way, at the end of the day. We know who wins this. All right, let's grab these last 2 calls.
All right, Donna in California.
Donna, go ahead.
Line 2.
Not there?
Not there. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, we lost both of them. All right. Well,
good.
That's it for phone calls for today.
Well, then we're gonna sum it up right here. Here's what you've got. We've got a UN statement that the Secretary General says he disagrees with, and that is calling Israel an apartheid state, and this report calls for Israel to be eliminated. We have to fight back. We're going to do that through our UN sources. And as Jordan said, we cannot just abandon the UN. We got to keep that Security Council seat. We are going to fight back on this. Quickly, Than, what is the next move here on the UN side? We're going to file a report and response.
The report needs to be withdrawn. Our engagement will insist that it be withdrawn. And if it's not withdrawn, Jay, then the funding for that specific commission that issued the report, that's the funding that needs to be threatened.
Yeah, that's right, folks. I mean, we need people to understand the significance of this issue. We could support this good legislation, defunding the Palestinian Authority, putting that funding right on the edge. Either they stop funding terrorism or they lose $300 million a year from the United States.
If they
lose that $300 million a year from the U.S., they're gone as a government.
We need you to stand with the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge halfway through the month. ACLJ.org.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at